All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. G-Mac out the rest of the show, had to catch a flight. So he will be back with us on Monday. But each and every Thursday, we're always pleased to welcome in the coach, Wim Sanderson.
I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way.
Thanks to our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly, the coach, Wim Sanderson, with us. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
I've been doing okay. I enjoyed the media day. I don't think you get quite as much out of it as you'd like to, because coaches just try to get through it. And the media never does get the selections correct. They probably did this time. No argument that Georgia and Alabama at the top, and probably no argument that Vanderbilt's at the bottom of the SEC in the East. Don't know about the West, but State will be down there somewhere, kind of a little bit low. But most of the time they don't hit it very well. But it's pretty much cut and dried that, you know, we've got a lot of questions right now on this show and all shows, and what we're looking for are games and you guys to call the games and looking for the answers.
Well, Coach, when you saw the media vote come out, Auburn at the bottom of the SEC West, are you in agreement with that?
To be quite honest with you, I am. I hope not. I've got too many friends down there, and you know, got a lot of ties down there. But I don't know. I think the one thing that bothers me about them is naturally, and you know about the lines that I do, that the offensive and defensive lines, is skill position at the quarterback. When they got the kid from LSU, I thought I just didn't care for him as a player. I thought he threw into double coverage way too much. The kid from A&M can be good, I think. He has good games and maybe not so good. He'll probably be the starting quarterback. But we don't have somebody great to skill position. Got a good running back. And Auburn played, they played Alabama great. The guy doesn't run out of bounds. Auburn beats Alabama. But I would say they're going to be at the bottom or close to it, yes. I don't know. They picked Arkansas third in the West, maybe so, by an A&M. But the middle part of it I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about, they don't think they could decide whether it's Kentucky or Tennessee to be two. They end up with Kentucky. The Auburn thing, I would say, probably, I would probably agree. I hope not.
Do you have a team in either division that you truly believe can challenge either Alabama or Georgia for that division and potentially win it?
Well, you know, I asked a question this morning on another radio show. How good is Georgia going to be? I know they've got a quarterback that nobody likes, but he wins. They lost a lot of linemen, a lot of people in the line. A lot of the rest of them in the East are trying to rebuild. Florida's not Florida of the future. South Carolina's not good enough. Tennessee might be. I would say Tennessee. I'll tell you something. Alabama has to play. When Alabama plays A&M, and everybody gets all hyped, everybody goes all crazy, and your players are all ready, and then the next week they got to go to Tennessee. I don't give a hoot whether it's Tennessee or not. Where it is, you got to work hard to get your team ready to play Tennessee after they have played A&M. So I would say the Georgia thing is probably pretty right. I don't know of any. Maybe Tennessee can make some strides offensively, more strides than they've been making. They've been making some good ones to compete against Georgia. In the West, I'm thinking maybe with a new staff there, people behaving themselves and doing what they're supposed to do and playing hard, LSU's got a chance to be better than people think.
All right, so the coach, Wim Sanderson, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. When you begin to fast forward past this season, we've had a lot of conversation coming off SEC media days, yep. And then obviously with what Kevin Warren said yesterday, commissioner of the Big Ten, about the playoff moving forward. He seems to have changed his stance on the playoff.
We
have no idea where this thing still is headed, but just based on what we've gathered the last week and a half, have you changed your opinion on kind of where you think we're going with college football and where we may end up with the college football playoff?
I think we'll stay. That's a great question. And you know, ACC can't do it. They're tied up to a contract to 2036. I think right now that Kevin Warren and them are going both directions. I think they're liable to take Oregon and Washington and then go the other direction and take Miami and FSU, those four. I think that's what – now, what Notre Dame does, and if Notre Dame can get their own contract deal, which won't be easy to do because I don't know who's going to be willing to play them like that, those four teams going into the Big Ten along with maybe Notre Dame, that's five more going into a team that's got 12, would make 17. I think maybe that might be where the Big Ten is going. He acts like something's going to happen soon. I couldn't really tell from commissioner in the SEC whether they were just really chomping at the bits to get somebody else. Could you, or do you think they're pretty much going to stay at the 16?
It's so hard to tell, Coach, because I think so much is wait and see. Now, it sounds like Kevin Warren is alluding to the fact that he's going to stay aggressive and he's going to go attack and he's going to go out and maybe try to add other things. So that to me is a little bit confusing. But and then when we had Brett McMurphy on yesterday, you know, he was the one who initially reported what you just said, and that Miami and Florida State might not be on the table for the Big Ten. And that just, I don't know how that makes any sense other than just saying, hey, we want to get to the SEC footprint and we're looking to go to 20 or 24 and we're going to go get the best brands, most popular brands, most powerful brands out there to add to our conference. And then
I don't
everything
think
else
be
just
around
goes out.
I see it at two conferences only because it's going to be a while. I think they're doing everything they can to Big 12 to do something, Oklahoma State's kind of in the background now in the Big 12. You know, the Big 12 is kind of a mixture of people in Florida. It's a mixture of everybody since far away from the Cincinnati all the way down to Central Florida. So they're going to fight for what they can fight for. And I would say, I hate it for the Oregon States and people like that to be left out in the cold. I would say that we're probably going to go to a 16-team playoff. I may be totally wrong on that. You're a lot smarter about that than I am, but certainly they're not going to stay at four. Could go to 12, but I have a feeling that there's a possibility it might even go to 16. One of these days, when your kids are grown and it's liable to just be like an NFL, AFL, college football. You know, two big conferences fighting against each other. I'm not sure.
No,
not, really not.
No, it's fair. All right, Wimp. We always appreciate the time. It's always great catching up with you. And as always, you're brought to us by our friends at Coke and Piggly Wiggly.
Well, certainly Piggly Wiggly are great people, and they do. It's a hometown store that if you go in there, you'll be greeted with the right way. You'll be able to find the products that you want and the prices that you want. And Piggly Wiggly's been all over the state of Alabama, just about everywhere. And they're terrific, and I appreciate Piggly Wiggly and Coke having me on, and hope you have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, Coach. Appreciate the time. Catch up next week. That's Wim Sanderson joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Also brought to us by Piggly Wiggly and Coke. So college football conversation going to continue, whether it's expansion, 16-team playoff, something that Kevin Warren had a couple very interesting comments about at Big Ten Media Day, day two yesterday. So, and obviously expansion, not something that he rules out, and sounds like he may continue to stay aggressive on. Golden Domer wants to talk expansion. He is on the Bud Light Hotline now. Welcome into the show, Domer.
Top of the morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Morning. Doing well.
All right. So, in the regards to the expansion in relation to the Big Ten, there's two teams, one of which teams has not been discussed at all. And I think in the Notre Dame sweepstakes, if the Big Ten would add this team, it would make it a lot more intriguing for the University of Notre Dame, considering, in fact, their overall mission of spreading their footprint. I think the two teams that the Big Ten could add to make it very intriguing for Notre Dame would be the University of Miami which Notre Dame has a lot of tradition and a rivalry built in throughout college football, especially starting in the 70s, and a team that many people may not realize, but south of the Mason-Dixon line, do y'all know what team Notre Dame has played the most throughout their history?
Below the Mason-Dixon line?
Yes, Southern team. What Southern team has Notre Dame played the most throughout their history?
Alabama.
No. The University of Georgia Tech, which used to be SEC school. Notre Dame had a long tradition of playing them. They're also an elite academic school in a major metropolitan area and would be great for the Big Ten and would be a tie for Notre Dame because Notre Dame's overall mission is to get into major footprints for recruiting. We all know Georgia has a great footprint in recruiting. We all know that Florida has a major footprint, both those in major cities. So I think if Big Ten had the foresight to try to get Notre Dame involved, Georgia Tech, with their academic standards and the tradition with Notre Dame, would be a great addition. What's your thoughts on that?
I find it very interesting, Domer, that when people talk about bringing Notre Dame into their conference, that they feel like they have to bring these other teams in to satisfy them. Whether it is, well, the only reason the Big Ten would go get Stanford is because that's another rivalry game for Notre Dame. Or as you're alluding to, Georgia Tech would be a great fit for the Big Ten because, and listen, it has other advantages than just maybe luring Notre Dame or assisting in luring Notre Dame because you get Atlanta. Now, as I've said before, now the cable subscribers are one thing. That's why UCLA and USC were a big get for the Big Ten. But even that market, I would ask you, how much time is being devoted to Trojan and Bruin football or any other sports? Not a ton.
I truly believe,
same thing with Atlanta.
I truly believe,
how much is Atlanta talking about Georgia Tech? I guarantee you local Atlanta TV stations spend three times the amount of time talking Georgia football than they do Georgia Tech football. And it's not it's not right next door to them. So sometimes because you get a giant market doesn't necessarily mean you're being talked about as much. I would also argue local radio stations in Atlanta talk a lot more about Georgia football than they do Georgia Tech. So it doesn't always mean that that's just going to be great because it's a giant market. Now, there are different ways to generate revenue because of that, but I just don't know why Notre Dame needs these drafting partners to potentially go to whatever conference they're going to end up going to one day.
Well, the reason is, Cole, is because they have leverage, and they have now, you know, like it or not, they're the number one brand in college football. So if you are a conference, you know, people can say what they want to, but it's a bidding war right now to get Notre Dame. I mean, so you do whatever you can to sweeten the pot. And as far as why do we need drafting partners, the reason is because Notre Dame does not want to be regional. Notre Dame wants to be nationwide, and they're not going to join a conference that's regional. I've known Notre Dame enough and studied them. They're not going to play regional games. So everybody says, oh, Big Ten's a perfect fit. Actually, the SEC would fit their mission more because that would get them out of their region. They don't want to be regional. They want to get into major markets and recruiting bases. And they want to spread their alumni base. So I believe USC was 80% to get Notre Dame. I mean, I understand it's a California market, but they are positioning themselves to get Notre Dame. And they have to sweeten the pot to entice Notre Dame because Notre Dame does not have to join a conference. They don't need a conference. Conferences need them, like it or not. So I think that's part of the leverage. So my second question I have for you is, in regards of University of Auburn, I believe that the next 5 years is going to be pivotal for the University of Auburn.
Auburn University.
Auburn University. Apologize. And the reason I say that is because Alabama has never in its history had a blue blood rival. Never. It's always been Auburn. And I believe with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, there is a very good possibility that Auburn could be pushed aside as Alabama's number one rival over the next 20 years, similarly to the way they were with Tennessee when Tennessee was at least.
Stop.
Two major reasons for that is because used to, Alabama and Auburn were in-state players. Alabama is a national team now, and they just don't care about Auburn as much as people want to pretend they do.
Stop.
And if Oklahoma and Texas, you start having multiple over a 20-year span, multiple big games, and Auburn goes in the direction I think they're going to be in, into an annual 7-5, 8-14, I could see that Oklahoma or Texas becoming Alabama's biggest rival. What do you think about that?
I don't think that that takes place, number one, because of where I believe scheduling is going and because of how things are going to have to be scheduled. I don't think Oklahoma and Texas are going to be on Alabama's schedule every year, plain and simple. And I think if it gets down to one team remaining on Alabama's schedule that is an annual opponent, Auburn will be that team. Because you can say that Auburn has been down or the rivalry hasn't been as great, but go look at the ratings of the Auburn-Alabama games when both teams have not been great. Because we have a couple where they've both been great recently. And we have some where one's been great and one's been very average. People still want to see that game. That game still draws eyeballs. It's still polarizing, regardless.
Yeah, it is. But I just think that with Alabama becoming a national team now, they're not an Alabama team. They're a lot of it, not even a Southern team. You're not going to have that own team hatred that you had. And we saw Auburn get pushed aside during the Tennessee era. There was a large span of Alabama's history where the Tennessee rivalry took the place of Auburn as far as impactful, important, talked about. Players cared more about it.
I could say the same thing about Florida with Tennessee in the mid-90s. It was the most important game on the schedule, no matter how good about Alabama was, no matter how good about Georgia was. I mean, that has changed for a lot of teams. You tell me the 70s that the Alabama game was the most important game for LSU? Absolutely not. But let's go from 2011 until now. What has been the most important game on the schedule every year for LSU? It's not Texas A&M. I don't care how many overtimes they played. It's not. It's not Texas A&M. It's been Alabama every year. And I could also give you early 2000s when the Auburn game was the most important game on the schedule for LSU every year.
That's exactly right, Cole. And I think that supports my theory because I really believe Auburn's about to go through a very average time span. I mean, if you really study Auburn's history, they're an 8-4 program until Alabama has major NCAA violations or has a coach that's just not very good. And what Gus Malzahn did, which had really never been done in the history of Auburn, was he had an elite team the same time Alabama was elite. And if you study those two teams, that almost never happens over 150 years. And so I just don't foresee Auburn having a 9-10 win team over the next 20 years on a regular basis, because they never have. And I see Texas or Oklahoma becoming a mainstay in the SEC.
What would make Texas was all of a sudden going to have a 9-win team every year? We haven't seen that in the last 20 years consecutively.
You're right, but I'm a big believer, and I'm a big believer in Blue Bloods. And sleeping giant. And like it or not, Texas is a sleeping giant. They're a blue blood. And a team, other teams can get hot. They can get a great coach. And that coach will leave, and they'll fall back in their rightful place. I believe that the blue bloods are the authority in college football. That's why Alabama did what it did. Look at what Nick Saban did at Michigan State. Nearly nothing. He woke up a sleeping giant with the help of Greg McElroy and his teammates, and now they're one of the most dominant dynasties in the history of college football. The sleeping giants are always sleeping, but they will be awoken. And I believe that Texas or Oklahoma is about to become a annually top five team. And I really do believe, with the money being the main calling card now and Alabama becoming a national team, you will see Auburn becoming an afterthought in the tradition of rivalries between Alabama and Auburn. I just foresee it.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Great conversation. A lot of different places to go with that. We're going to attempt to go a few with it on the other side. Damian has a couple of win totals that he wants to get out as well. So a lot of different things left to hear on the show. A lot of different things that we want to cover. Have some notes still from Big Ten Media Day yesterday we need to get to. There's some news in the transfer portal with SEC schools. Live Golf in the news again. More happening there. We'll get to that. You'll be able to hear and see it all coming up here in the next 45 minutes. But first, I want to tell you about how you can see better. And it's with my friends at Michelson Laser Vision. Dr. Mark, Dr. Jennifer Michelson, they're rooted right here in our community in Birmingham. They've dedicated their practice to serve the people of Alabama. That's why they're right there at UAB Highlands for comfortable and convenient care. And listen, when you select Michelson Laser Vision for your treatment, it doesn't just have to be LASIK. It's not the only thing that they're going to help you with. Nearsightedness, farsightedness, astigmatism, cataracts, all of that. The cost you're quoted for your treatment, that's what you're going to pay for everything. Surgery, recovery, post-op visits. There are no add-ons, no hidden fees. A variety of easy and affordable payment plans are always going to be available. So just call 205-969-8100, set up a free consultation like I did over 20 years ago, or visit MichelsonLaserVision.com to find more information. Is the Iron Bowl going away with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas? We'll discuss it next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Appreciate you tuning in. Phone lines open, 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. Before we roll on, I have no context as to how to introduce this on the show other than we're talking college football. Eli Drinkwitz yesterday proved again why he is maybe the most entertaining coach in the league. And a lot of people are just going to say, well, it's Lane Kiffin. Eli Drinkwitz yesterday with Jim Rome.
I thought you were going to introduce my record, but with the latest allegations against Tennessee, let's hold up on what my record is because I expect him to vacate some wins, and that's going to help my record a little bit.
Okay? Oh, man, this is getting better. This is getting so much better. Can I ask you, I wasn't necessarily going to go there, but you would be the beneficiary of that. Can I, since you brought it up, can I get your reaction to the latest allegations against Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I got to question my wife's commitment to winning. You know, I mean, I don't know how much she's committed if she's not engaging in some of these things. I didn't know that was fair play. So, it was a little bit surprising to see the in-depth nature of what was going on there. But I am sure glad that Tennessee was taking some ownership of it, and we'll see what the results are. It's pretty interesting for sure.
I assume Molly in the sports information department there in Columbia, Missouri, often have anxiety just not knowing what Drink's going to say next. Just had to get that out. I don't really know how to introduce that or talk around that other than just it's amazing that
it's perfect.
He drops that. No, let's not go to my record just yet because we're probably getting a few of those back. So slow down a little bit. But if you do have anxiety, you or your pet, your CBD store can help. Arthritis as well. They've helped me with some arthritis issues that I've had, also helped the pet in my household. Your CBD store, they've got broad-spectrum mango CBG gummies that can help deliver an uplifting effect to give you a great start to your day. Also, full-spectrum blueberry CBN gummies give you a great restful night's sleep. They are the largest brick-and-mortar CBD retailer in the world. Focus their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. They know there are hundreds of different extracts and plants, and they work hard to find the ones that work best, and they study the different effects that those extracts have. Your CBD store also now carries Trim by SunMed, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences. They've got USDA-certified organic oil supplements. The stamp seal is going to be on the products, and they don't just hand those out. They have to meet and achieve a certain set of standards to get it. Visit one of their four locations today. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, Trustville just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. 800-239-9569 if you want to get in. Golden Domer saying that the Iron Bowl will lose its luster or go away as Alabama's most important game or biggest rival. I'm not sure the exact context of where we were going there, but I'll just say that first and foremost, to just announce Texas as entering the SEC on equal footing as, let's just say right now, Georgia and Alabama, I cannot be okay with that.
No.
It's not real. Oklahoma is in the middle of a massive transition with a head coach who I believe was 55-10 in his tenure.
Yep.
That is now out. And the guy taking over has never been a head coach in big-time college football. So that to me is also just a little bit of a wait and see. So I don't know that just those two teams coming into a league is all of a sudden going to diminish other rivalries. And why would it only diminish the Iron Bowl? So if that's the case, if Texas and Oklahoma are now coming into the league and they're these bigger brands, is Florida State not important? Does Georgia-Florida now take a back seat? Is South Carolina-Clemson not as important of a game anymore? If we get Texas A&M back on an annual basis, is it not as important? Because we have Oklahoma also in the league? And we've talked about however they end up scheduling it, Texas probably going to be the most complicated school because of, we know, Red River rivalry, and we know Texas A&M. Texas needs to be back. We need to get that. And then obviously there are some others that you could throw in that also could be a part of that. And I do understand a little bit of what Domer says when it comes to the fact that these are not just in-state players anymore. When I played college football, still kind of holding on by a thread when Greg played college football. Most of the rosters at Alabama and at Auburn were made up of players from the state of Alabama. Now, I had a lot more players from Georgia. Greg probably had a lot more players from Tennessee and Mississippi. I mean, I played with guys from Mississippi. I played with Kendall Simmons. I played with Jason Campbell. So, I mean, they weren't all guys from the state of Alabama. I played with Rudy Johnson, who's from the DMV. I played with Brent Muir, who's from the DMV. I mean, we had guys from other places.
Right.
Victor Riley was from South Carolina. Played with a lot of Florida guys. A lot of Florida guys. As I mentioned, a lot of Georgia guys. But that didn't make that game any less important. Now, Ben Lear will come on the show tomorrow, and he'll probably tell you, yeah, Georgia game meant more to me. But he also knew that the Iron Bowl was very important. I don't think that meant for Tekeil Spikes or Antoine Nolan or Ben Leard. I don't think that that meant that, or if you asked Ronnie Brown, I don't think that that meant that they thought that the Iron Bowl meant less because the Georgia game meant more to them. They still knew that was the most important game on the schedule. And where we're headed with scheduling, you're either going to get three that you're going to play every year or one that you're going to play every year. And no matter how we spin it, no matter how we look at it, no matter how many teams are added, Auburn, Alabama will be played every year. It will.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
It's not going to go away.
No.
And to be such a big fan of history, which Golden Domer is, both in the world and also college football, I think there would be an understanding of, because of what's already happened with that game, by God, we're not going to let it go away. There have been too many great moments. There have been too many great seasons that have been decided by, and too many times in which that has been must-see TV.
And to bring it all, just actually to look at a big picture, we talk about, you know, Auburn not being the best at times. A team that went 6-7 last year took the runner-ups in the national championship to 4 overtimes. Just last year, and it was a 17-point underdog going into the game with a backup quarterback, took them to 4 overtimes. But you can't. But you want to say that you think this rivalry is gonna die sometime soon.
But I'm just gonna be fair here for a second, and you've heard me say this on this show. Not necessarily that rivalry in that game, but a portion of what he's discussing is in jeopardy as we move forward with this. I've talked about it a lot of times. This is not saying that Texas and Oklahoma are 10-win teams or on the verge of the college football playoff, but when is Oklahoma and South Carolina going to have true meaning?
Right.
When is Texas, Florida, other than just the fact that they've been good before, going to have true, deeply rooted meaning? When is UCLA and Minnesota going to have true, deeply rooted meaning? I can't answer that. Mm-mm. My kids might not even see that. When we can go back and reference, you remember that game? You remember that guy? You remember that play? You remember what happened in that one? What that game decided?
Right.
What that did for that team the next 5 years, or what that prevented that other team from doing because they upset them? When do we get to that point with those games? When does USC, and I'm not talking about a top five USC, I'm not talking about a Pete Carroll run USC team, I'm just talking about USC right now. When does USC and Northwestern really matter? Which, by the way, I've seen that game before in the Rose Bowl. Years. I saw Darnell Autry and that Northwestern team. I saw Keyshawn Johnson before the game go to midfield and wave a USC flag and literally plant the thing on the 50, which would have about a billion hits on YouTube right now
if
that thing happened today.
Right.
The guy with no helmet on went to midfield before the game, and he stuck a USC flag in the ground. And if I'm not mistaken, he went out and caught 12 for 208 and 2 touchdowns. So, but I've seen, what, a couple of those games?
Right.
When USC rolls into Chicago, boy.
It's gonna be, hey, the Windy City.
When does UCLA and Illinois have real meaning?
In basketball, that would sound a lot better. But in football, not really moving the needle.
So I don't think that you can say it's going to go away just because you believe that some other teams are going to be better than the team that is still the rivalry game. Look at Carolina Clemson the last few years. Who's been the better team?
It's a resounding.
We Clemson. Still paid attention to it, and when Jake Bentley put 500 on them and took them to the brink, that game was important, had meaning, and people got into it and people watched it. So it doesn't always have to be these two. That's why rivalries are great, is because, and I'm on record saying the better team usually wins. So I don't always go with the anything can happen, throw out the records. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes that can take place. And playing on the road in that game, as McElroy could tell you about his 09 team, that was tough. They were a better team in 09. Mm-hmm. But they had to pull out everything to be able to win there. To go to Jordan here and win, they had to be able to pull it out, just like the national champions had to do last year. I'm not saying that every year it's a literal toss-up. But what I am saying is because of that extra meaning, because of that extra emotion, because of the history, because of the tradition, because of how many people are talking about it, I've always said the reason that those games are clean, the reason that that now we could take the Egg Bowl out of this, because that thing has just turned into literal WCW the last couple of years. But the reason I believe the Iron Bowl is usually clean is because so many people ask you about it, and so many people talk about it, and so many people text you and call you about it, and so many people mention what it's going to be like. You become so laser focused on that particular game, you don't want to be the guy who makes the mistake. Because the guy who makes the mistake oftentimes is remembered more for the guy than went out and made the great play. And by God, nobody wants to be that guy. Nobody wants to be the one that yanked one left or that dropped a pass or fumbled a ball or made a weird play call or any of those things. Because that's what we remember about a lot of those games. And no one wants to be that guy. Jeff is in Trustville, wants to talk rivalries. Welcome in, Jeff. You're on the Bud Light Hotline.
Hey, good morning, Cole. How you doing this morning?
Morning. Doing well. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I know Golden Omer, he's a longtime caller and everything, but I don't know where he's off his rocker when he's talking about that. Because that's not going to happen. Texas, Oklahoma will never replace Auburn as Alabama's main rival. And this is an Alabama fan speaking here, okay? For example, okay, which of those three teams, Auburn, Texas, and Oklahoma, which is the last team to win the national championship? Huh? Okay, answer that. And, you know, I put Auburn up there on the level with, you know, Tennessee, LSU, Georgia. They're on that plateau with those top teams, okay? You know, and everything may not be consistent every single year, but when you're competing against Nick Saban, you know, that's hard to do that. You know what I'm saying? But I wanted to also thank you, the guy that, what was the guy's name that you had with Big Ten that you interviewed?
Today?
Big Ten Presco? Yeah, today.
Ben Hartsock.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben Hartsock. Yeah. I want to say in general, Cole, I have I like it when you guys interview guys that have been involved in the game, played the game, or coached the game, because they really have a different perspective. This is not to slam media people, but I'm saying this, they have a different perspective as far as the inside knowledge of the game and everything. And I really enjoy, they have a perspective and know the game more. And I really enjoyed that interview, and everything. So, but one thing, let me ask you this. One thing, we talked about this expansion. Okay, you correct me if I'm wrong. So far, up to now, okay, the teams that have joined, okay, like Texas and Oklahoma, they contacted the SEC, correct?
Correct.
I mean, it wasn't where Greg Sankey, where he called them and said, do y'all want to come join our league? It was the other way around, right?
Correct.
All right, so, then USC and UCLA, they contacted the Big Ten, correct?
I'll just say this, Jeff. The Big Ten was contacted. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
The Big Ten was contacted. By who and how? I will leave that open to your interpretation.
Okay, no, that's fine because I wasn't sure, and I apologize. I just want to make.
Oh no, you're on the right track, but I just don't think that the two administrations did the contacting. But that's a conversation for another day, way down the road.
Okay. And one more thing about him, you know, and I agree with you about Golden Domer's talking about Georgia Tech. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. You know, Notre Dame said, you know, wants to be national. They are national. They don't need Georgia Tech, you know, Atlanta. That, you know what I'm saying? That's, I don't know where he comes up with that. But anyway, well, great show, Cole.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Really do appreciate it. Yes, sir. He also stated that Alabama was a national team, and that's why they were going to get away from Auburn, right?
Right.
But they play in the Southeastern Conference.
Yes, sir.
How are they a national team? They play in a regional conference.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry.
B Love is on the Bud Light Hotline and wants to chime in. Welcome in, B.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. If I was any better, I'd have to pay luxury tax, and I wouldn't be able to afford it.
You'd just be like the Yankees, and you'd be all
talking
right.
Talking about the rivalries, there is, I know there's a lot of big rivalries, but the Iron Bowl, there is nothing else like the Iron Bowl. You know, there's something like it about it every year. You know, I get sick all week long, lose weight that week, even worrying about it, you know, what's going to happen. No matter who's supposed to win the game, because you've seen crazy things happen, especially since they've moved it from Birmingham to going home and home now. It seems like it's a little crazier every year now.
Sure.
But one question I was wanting to ask about the Alabama receiving crew, you know, after we lost the two big dogs last year at the end of the season, it seemed like we had a hard time getting I honestly think if we could have made a few good catches in that last half of that championship game, I believe we could have pulled that game out. But I just was wondering if you have any insight on who's going to be taking over as receivers.
All right, we'll get to that. B-Love, we'll have a discussion on Alabama receivers and kind of how that thing played out. I feel like Nick Saban kind of addressed it, not just after the game, but in a couple of times he's met with the media since then of, you want to sit around and talk about not being fair, but you didn't get your opportunities. And then when you got your opportunities, you didn't make the plays we needed you to play. I'm paraphrasing, but I feel like I've heard Coach Saban say things very similar to that
a
couple of times since the season ended. But we'll go into maybe who we think steps up for the Crimson Tide this fall. And I do agree that when you lost a couple, when you lost Mechie, and then obviously Jameson, that was going to be just a totally difference maker. You just didn't have another one of those guys to be able to do it. I thought Jameson did a good job moving into different roles, doing different things. But when he went out, that changed all of it, in my opinion. We'll hit that. A couple other win totals next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. You can also tweet in at Mac and Cube. Twitter feed always brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Hastings wants to go rivalries, as we've been discussing for the last couple segments. Hastings, welcome into the show. You're on the Bud Light Hotline.
Yeah, hey, Cole. Hope you guys are having a great day today. I just kind of listened to Golden Domer's call and was wondering what era of football he was living in. I think he's still looking at Notre Dame as a blue blood, as well as Nebraska. No offense to Greg. I know they're going to have a great season this year, but you know, you talk about these blue bloods and what they've done in the past 30, 40 years, and I'm confused because most of them haven't done anything. And I'll tell you what, he started comparing Auburn and saying they're going to lose their rivalry with Alabama, and I guess he just doesn't understand the nature and the history behind that rivalry, all the intense moments. He wants to talk about history. Well, I mean, I've immersed myself in history of college football, and if I'm not mistaken, that rivalry has been one of the best throughout times, even from stopping a three-peat with Alabama to the 2019 when Mac Jones got lit up and threw a couple bad timely interceptions. I mean, that rivalry's been back and forth. But my question to him is you want to talk about these perennial powerhouses and you want to talk about the rivalries, how much has the Texas-Oklahoma rivalry really meant over the past 10 years? I mean, how much has the Florida State-Miami rivalry meant over the past 10 years? I'll even go another step. How much has USC-Notre Dame meant over the past 10 years? So when you look at the longevity of these rivalries, just because there's a bad spurt in one of them, I mean, heck, I remember when Auburn beat us six times in a row and the dreaded seventh time where we're sitting there and you're like, my Lord, we've got a better team. I don't know if we can pull it off this year. Rivalry's about the entirety of the history of these events, Cole. And when you split it down to brass tacks, you've got an in-state rival, and you've got two perennial programs who have seen success on the field with great coaching. He wanted to talk about Auburn not having 9-10 win seasons. If I remember, it took Tommy Tuberville no time at all to turn that program around and have them for 9-10 seasons year in, year out. Same with Gus. So you can hate on him all you want, but they also had a lot of seasons where they were at 9-10 wins, and they were fighting for a championship spot. Sorry they're not Notre Dame and play a non-conference that doesn't matter. I mean, your hardest competitor is Stanford and USC. Like, don't give me that. That's your rivalry. So I don't think you've got a true grasp on rivalry and the actual indentation of what this means here in the South. because your fanhood doesn't align with the SEC's mentality. But this discussion that the rivalries won't mean anything, give it time. Football is cyclical, and because it's cyclical, these rivalries will remain intact, and after time, they will continue to grow and get better, even with the new additions. But you got to give it time. And when you talk about powerhouses and blue bloods, yeah, that was 40 years ago where you had a voting system. Then you had the BCS. Now you got a college football playoff system. I think you need to transition your mindset on what blue bloods were to what they are now, because the landscape continuously changes, and therefore historical great teams may never be there again, unless Nebraska pulls one out of its rear end this year and makes a national championship. But as far as the rivalry discussion goes, Cole, I'm 100% with you guys. And also, as an Alabama fan, even his comments on Auburn, I think we're a little outlandish and out there. So, look, I appreciate y'all taking my call. I just wanted to clear some of that up because I just don't think it was necessarily on the right front in which he was speaking with. But that's his opinion and his perspective, and I appreciate him sharing it with it. But you guys have a great day. I appreciate y'all's call, and hopefully talk to y'all.
Hastings, as an Alabama fan, and I believe you're a little younger than I am, do you recall a time when the Tennessee game meant more than the Auburn game?
It's relative. I mean, yeah, but Alabama wasn't necessarily great.
It's fair. So, Tennessee, Peyton beat him right here down the road. I mean, that happened. Yeah. But that was also during a time when it wasn't very long before that when the game was first moved to campus, and you had a couple of massive games because of that. And then obviously, like you were saying, all the teams weren't necessarily what they are now. So I still don't, back in those times, whether it was Manning, because I can tell you this, like I just said, when Manning was at Tennessee, the Florida game meant more than any other game, including the Alabama game, because that's how massive that game was every year. Week 3, I believe, it was 2:30 on CBS, and there was about 172 NFL players on the field at one time. I don't know how they pulled that off, but they did. They were all getting drafted early, and it was a hell of a game, and that team would usually go on to represent the East, sometimes win the SEC, and then maybe go on to win a national title, which it wasn't as easy back then for the SEC to win a title. You know, Florida had to go beat Florida State again in 96 to be able to do it. You know, Tennessee had to work their magic in 98 to be able to do it. So it didn't just happen the way that it kind of does now. So I don't remember a time, and again, you know, I'm in my early 40s, and so there are some periods of time that Alabama and Tennessee played that I didn't see and that I might not know as well, but I still don't believe. I've seen some great runs by Alabama, some great runs by Tennessee. Believe it or not, some of those happened. I was actually alive for some of those.
Yeah, and Cole,
but I don't ever remember that game being more important than the Iron Bowl. I just don't.
Yeah, and Cole, people say that the Tennessee rivalry, I hate Tennessee more than I hate Auburn. And then they're like, well, LSU's more of a rivalry than Auburn. Out of what context? Like, what's your context behind that? Because Auburn, year in, year out, has an opportunity to beat Alabama, whether they're 5-7 or they're 8-4 or 10-2 or undefeated. I mean, they've got a chance every year, and it usually is determinant on if Alabama over the past, you know, 15 some odd years, if Alabama is going to make an SEC or national title. And so for me, what it comes down to is, and I know that this is silly, but you got to look to the next game. Well, when the last game on the schedule is Auburn and you are going into Jordan-Hare, it is a crisp 45 degrees outside and Jordan-Hare is absolutely rocking. I don't care who you are or where you're from. I've been in that stadium multiple times. I've only seen Bama win once. And being in that stadium, there is something mystic about it to where I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here tonight when they're playing Alabama, because that, it means more. Alabama's like the Letterman quarterback who looks good and, you know, has a lot of great plays and whatnot. Auburn is like the gritty, absolutely hand in the dirt linebacker who's going to punch you in the mouth. And if you're not ready for it, they're going to take your name too. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, I agree with you. I think those time periods are so short and selective that they don't actually give due diligence to the true rivalry of what
Alabama is. Good call, Hastings. Got to let you run. I appreciate it. Jeffrey Scott Myrick tweets in, I feel Auburn rivalry isn't as strong as it used to be. LSU, Georgia very close to overcoming the Auburn rivalry. Well, one of those you don't even play every year.
I mean, thank you.
Okay. So it can go both ways. Zach Taylor says, since I was born in 1982, record for the Iron Bowl is 20-20. Definition of a great rivalry. There you go. We're back tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. Three-man front is next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.